Glory to God. I want to thank the Lord for being invited to minister on the Point Christian Fellowship broadcast, where love is the password and love is the strategy. I thank the Lord for Pastor Herbert, Pastor Paul, Pastor Mom, and all of the saints in their respective places. I pray in Jesus' name for every person who's listening to this broadcast, both now and for those who will listen in the future, that God's loving kindness, His tender mercies, His amazing grace, and His good and goodness will be manifested greatly on behalf of each one of you and all of yours. I pray also in Jesus' name that God Himself will meet you and all of yours at the very point of your need, whatever that need might be. May you be much encouraged this day and cast not away your confidence in God and His Word, knowing that there is nothing too hard or impossible with God. The message that the Lord has placed upon my heart today is the importance of knowing and believing the love that God has for us. Our key passage of Scripture is from 1 John 4, verse 11 through verse 19. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. The key scripture in that passage is 1 John 4 and verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Remember that the message that the Lord has placed upon my heart today is the importance of knowing and believing the love that God has for us. I really believe in this time that we're being encouraged by God to truly know and believe the love that He has for us. That word know is from the Greek word ginosko, G-I-N-O-S-K-O, which means to be intimately acquainted with. In Luke 1 verse 31, the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, "Behold, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus." In verse 34, Mary used the same word that was found in 1 John 4 and verse 16 when she said, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" That word know means to be intimately acquainted with. You remember that when Adam knew Eve, she conceived and had a child. Anytime in the Bible, you'll see when they knew someone that they conceived and had a child. Even in John 8, 31 and verse 32, it says that we will know the truth. That's that word ginosko. He said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciple indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I heard someone say, it's the truth that you're intimate with, that you know on an intimate basis. That's the truth that is going to make you free. So the word know means to be what? Intimately acquainted with. God wants us to be so intimately acquainted with the love that He has for us so that we may have a true relationship with Him that does not waver. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3 says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." God draws us to Himself with His love and kindness. Someone said love could be explained as wanting the best for someone. And that's exactly what God wants for us. There's no shadow of turning with God. His love is not duplicitous. He's not two-faced it. And He will not change up on us. In fact, the Word of God says in Hebrews 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's look at a few scriptures and build our faith in the greatness of God's love for us. Remembering Romans 10 and verse 17 that says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't come by having heard. It comes by hearing on a continual basis. Someone may say, I already know that God loves me. And that's a wonderful thing to know. We want to stir up our faith even the more concerning God's love for us. Let's look at 1 John 3 and verse 1 that says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The love of God is always described not just plainly as love, but great love. And a very familiar scripture, John 3 and verse 16, we can see the degree and magnitude of the love that God has for us. It says, for God so loved the world. If we even stop there, God so loved. He could have just said, for God loved the world. But he wanted to show the degree and the magnitude of the greatness of God's love for us. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. It's something to tell somebody, oh, I love you. But when you can tell them, I so love you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. My little granddaughter, and she's not little anymore, but my granddaughter says, that's a lot of love. That's a lot of love. And yes, that's what God has for us. A lot of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Then in John 15 and verse 13, it says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You see, there's a song that says, no greater love. There's no greater love than a man would lay down his life for his friend. And that's what Jesus did just for you and just for me. In Lamentations 3, verse 21 through 24 in the King James Bible, it's a very familiar verse. It says, this I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. I love the way the ERV Bible puts it. It says, but if that verse in Lamentations 3, 21 through 24, it says, the ERV Bible says, but then I think about this, and I have hope. We are still alive because the Lord's faithful love never ends. Every morning he shows it in new ways. You're so very loyal and true. I say to myself, the Lord is my God and I trust him. Oh, glory, glory, glory to God. He said, but then I think about this and I have hope. We have an intense, earnest expectation of good based on thinking about the love of God, of the love that God has for us. We're still alive. He's keeping us alive. That song says, he's keeping me alive because of the Lord's faithful love. It never ends. And every morning, it's new every morning. New mercies, new love, new loving kindness, fidelity and faithfulness, new compassion for us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then it says in verse 24, I say to myself, the Lord is my God and I trust him. See, that's what this is all about. When you can know and believe the love of God that he has for you, it'll cause your trust factor to go. You won't limit the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You won't limit God. You'll begin to say, oh, that's my God. He loves me. It's something when you know somebody really, really loves you. And you know you can rest in that love. Sometimes we look too much on the horizontal. We look to the right and to the left to human beings for that love, that great, great, great love. But God said, all this love, I love my sister ministered, Apostle Kizzy ministered about from a message at a funeral that we were at one time. And she ministered from, it might have been El DeBarge, I don't know, I might get it wrong. But she said, all this love, that was the title of her message, all this love is waiting for you. God's got all this love waiting for you. Sometimes we spin our wheels trying to be able for somebody to love us unconditionally. But God's got all this love waiting just for you and for me. Then look at Psalms 145, verse 8 and 9. And Psalms 145, 8 and 9, you need to be able to star this in your Bible, put it up on your wall if you can, because these particular verses explain why God does what he does for us. Why does he heal us? Why does he provide for us? Why did he give his life for us on Calvary's cross? Why does he do what he does for us? Psalms 145, verse 8 and 9 says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He's slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies over all his works." The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love, it says in another translation. I read that out of the King James Bible, where it says that the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. That's why he heals us, because he's, "I'm gracious to you." You know, you ever seen somebody that you don't have to, they're not mean as a junkyard dog. You don't have to make sure you got to sidle up to them a certain kind of way because you don't know if they're going to snap your head off or not. Well, God is not like that. He said, "A bruised reed will I not break, nor a smoking flax I will not put out." He said, and some people say, "Don't ask God for this." But God said, "If you need wisdom, let him ask." And he said, I won't upbraid you. That's not his character. That's not his nature. He said, "Come to me. Come boldly to the throne of grace to receive my mercy, my love, my kindness, even my compassion on your behalf." That's the God we serve. And then he says, "And I'll give you the grace. I'll give you what you need, that grace that you need to help in time of need and in time of trouble." So in Psalm 145 and verse 8 and 9, we see why God does what he does. Why does he heal? Why does he deliver? Why does he provide for us? Why does he do what he does? Because he's gracious. He's full of compassion. He's slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. In another translation, it says, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger," and then they say, "He's rich in love." One translation says he's full of love. One says he's filled with unfailing love. He's always loving. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. And when you can see these on all he has made, that's why John 3:16 was not just to his children. Those were the ones who were going to come to be his children. For God so loved the world, he's not willing that not one single person would perish, but all would come to repentance. He wants you to turn and return to the high place that he's called you to be. You know, that word repent is pent with a re in front of it. And pent is always the top position. It's the top, the penthouse, the top place. And so God says, "I want you to repent. I want you to return to that high place that I've called you to be. I've called you to be not in the muck and mire of sin, not in doing your own thing your own way, but repent and return. Repent. Have a change of heart and mind and turn unto the Lord." Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So we see that he is gracious. Let's look at another scripture. It says in Psalms 86 and verse 15, Psalms 86 and verse 15, "But you, Lord, are compassionate and gracious God. You're slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." So this is the character and the nature of God, his ways. The word of God says the children of Israel in Psalms 103, they knew God's acts, but Moses knew his ways. And these are God's ways. That God said, "I want you to know my ways." You know, I often heard somebody say, nobody's been lied on more than God has. They say, "God put cancer on him. God put this." But God said in his word, Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but to steal and kill and destroy. But I've come that you might have life," Jesus said, "and to have life more abundantly." Don't want everything all in a turmoil. That's why he said, pray for those in leadership. He doesn't want everything all in chaos. He said, pray that we might lead a peaceable and quiet life. That's his words, not mine. He wants us to lead a peaceable and quiet life in all godliness and honesty. Oh, he says tribulations are going to come, but see, we're to pray. He said, because I've overcome that. Jesus is the one that helps us. So we see that God is a compassionate and gracious God. Look at Psalms 136 and verse 26. It says, "Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever." Not just for a moment, not just for a little while, but his love endures forever. And then in Romans 5, verse 8, we still get a view of how his love, the manifestation and the degree of his love, how his love, his MO, his mode of operation, and how he demonstrates his love. So Romans 5, verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I love the fact that if I was the only one and you were the only one, Christ Jesus would have still died just for you and just for me. Then in Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5, it says, but because of his great love for us, here we go again, showing the magnitude, the degree of his love. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Oh, how wonderful is that? Glory to God. Then in Romans 8, verse 37 through 39, it says, no, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not only must we be intimately acquainted with God's love for us, but we must also believe the love that God has for us. In 1 John 4, verse 16, in another translation, it says, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. We know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. We are told to believe on God's love. That is, that we are to have faith, to trust in, to lean on, and to rely on God's love for us. That is so important, because when tribulations, trials, and tests come our way, we can look confidently to Jesus, our Savior, Lord, and our God, knowing that he loves us, that he truly sees what's going on. He says, I see it. I see what's going on. He knows and he cares for us, and that he's working behind the scene for us. In Jude 1 and verse 21, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That word keep is from the Greek word tereset, T-E-E-R-A-S-A-T-E. The E is long, so it's tereset, which means to remain, to guard, to keep yourself in the love of God. Pastor Paul sang the song, Jesus, keep me near the cross. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We want to be kept and guard this love, to keep ourselves in the love of God. Hold that I by see. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When we do this, then 1 John 4:18 comes forth in our lives and in our walk in God. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has torment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. There are a multitude of things that can happen in this life. I'm going to say that again. There are a multitude of things that can happen in this life. But when we know and truly believe that Jesus loves us, we will have that blessed assurance that he will never leave us nor forsake us, that his blood was shed to give us a better covenant based on better promises, that his body was broken, that we could be healed, and that as many of us as have received him, we're now not only a child of God, but we're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. As we close today, based on the word that we have heard today, please say with me, I know and believe that God loves me. Say that again. I know and believe that God loves me. And also say with me, I will keep myself in his love. Say it with me. I will keep myself in his love and in the knowledge of his love. I'll say that again. I will keep myself in his love and in the knowledge of his love. Now, we have covered only a very few scriptures on the greatness of God's love for us. My prayer is that each of us will look up and study through the word of God, the scriptures on knowing and believing the love God has for us. Now, let me speak a word of benediction over you from Jude 1, verse 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. As we end this broadcast today, may you continue to lift up the name of Jesus Christ, and may his standard of excellence be set in every area of your life. Remember that the Word of God says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This day, if you're not sure of your salvation, please say this with me and pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and life. I do believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that God raised you from the dead. I repent of all my sins. I give my heart and life to you. Lord, I ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to baptize and fill me to overflowing with your precious Holy Spirit and with power to witness, serve, and to love. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me according to Acts 20 and verse 32, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace that is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all of them which are set apart in Jesus Christ. As we close today, remember, they asked the question. There was a man named Tellus Savalas that asked the question, "Who loves you, baby?" Remember this, Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. God bless each and every one of you today.